I do greet each and every one of you in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and trust that as you have come here today, it is to worship him and to not only hear what he has through his word, but also to worship him for what he has done for you in your life. Also, I guess we rejoice with the Isaac family who this past week had Brother Conrad, or Karan, and Amy were married in Thailand. So they will be, I believe, coming back in the next week. So what a blessing to be a part of their life. And we look forward to meeting his new wife in the coming weeks. So keep them in your prayers as they travel back to Canada. This morning is an introduction to the message. And Brother David asked me if I was going to do all of John 17, or if it was going to be over a number of, or if it was going to take longer. And it really should take longer. But I'm endeavoring to kind of get through John. And but there are so many. When I look at the prayer of Christ here in John 17, it is like a prayer should be. It should be about one thing, and then it should be about another thing and another thing. And when you end up looking at it, it could be probably as many messages as there are verses in that prayer. It's also almost, I found it difficult. What do you say, what do you share about a prayer that the Lord gave? How do you explain that? How do you share what he meant? And so today I'd like to look at the prayer more as what was Christ praying for us for today also. Just as an introduction, the headline, and this is from Radio Bible Class a number of years ago, the headline read, Unanswered Prayers, Letters to God Found Dumped in the Ocean. And the letters, 300 in all, had been sent to a New Jersey minister and had been tossed in the ocean, most of them unopened. The minister had long died, and how the letters came to be floating in the surf off the New Jersey shore is a mystery. The letters were addressed to the minister because he had promised to pray. And the reporter concluded that all were unanswered prayers. Not so. If those letter writers cried out to God, he heard each one of them. Not one honest prayer is lost to his ears. And when we look at today's passage, we have a prayer by our Lord Jesus Christ that is being answered from then, from the time he prayed it, until the Lord returns. It is being answered today for us. John 7, and I should say too, how many read this morning's Radio Bible Class, the devotional for today? Just raise your hand if you did. Not many. I'd encourage every one of you to go read it, right, Miriam? It is a powerful testimony of what God can do when we don't even know what's happening. It is, in fact, I'm not sure I could read that up here this morning, even though it'd be a perfect introduction, because I'm not sure I can get through it. But if you haven't read it, if you have the book, read it. If you see it on the back shelf, open it up, read it. It is powerful. And it is about prayer. A small thing with that is that how did God make that happen that in radio Bible class, he has a devotional for prayer on the Sunday that I'm preaching on prayer. That is small compared to what is shared in that devotional. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And people say there is no God. I just shake my head after I read that. John 17 is the cry of Jesus as he pours out his heart to his Father God on behalf of his followers. I believe that God continues to answer his prayer for us today. In today's scripture passage, we have Jesus' final moments before his arrest. Spent in prayer, we see his love for his disciples and for all who would believe on him as Lord and Savior, including you and I, as he prays and intercedes for them and us. One writer commented that scripture would teach that prayer should be personal, it should be spontaneous, it should be unrehearsed, from the heart, and filled with adoration and praise, and should be prayed with confidence. And that's the end of the quote. And we see all of this in Jesus' prayer here in John 17. At this time, take your Bibles and turn to John 17. And shall we read this passage? I'd ask you to stand and then remain standing for prayer. You will notice as we read through this passage that it's really in three parts, where Christ prays for himself, and then he prays for his disciples, and then in the last verses he prays for all believers. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that you may know him, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men who you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that you also, that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have today to come to this place and gather as believers. Gather as one to worship you. And we thank you, Lord, that as we have read this prayer that you shared just moments before you were arrested, the love that you had for us. We thank you that as we look at this prayer today, we pray that your Holy Spirit may reveal to us the truths that are in here for us as a people called out to serve you, to walk in this world as an example of who you are in our lives. We just pray that this prayer that in a way is so powerful that it can speak to each one of us in a different way. And we pray that it may do so, not just through the words that I share, but as the Holy Spirit speaks to each heart here present this morning. In your name, amen. You may be seated. You may have noticed as we read Jesus' prayer that there were a number of words that were repeated over and over a number of times. The words of glory, the words of gave, know, one, sanctify, keep, or their derivatives. In other words, very similar. Should these words also be central in our prayers if they were in Jesus? And I'm not going to take the time to actually look at those words, but think back at those words. They seem very common, like glory, gave, know, one, sanctify. But what is he saying when he mentions them over and over in this passage? Jesus' prayer is in three parts: for himself, his disciples, and for all believers. And I think prayer should be like that for us. It should really be in three parts. It should be that we pray for ourselves, but we should also pray for others, other fellow Christians, and also are those that are close to us, like his disciples, those that are within our immediate family or within our immediate church, but also for all of believers throughout the whole world. In verses 1 to 5, Jesus prays for himself. In verse 1, he says that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven. The Lord's source of strength for the coming hours was not in himself, but in God the Father. The hour had come to give his life as a sin offering for the sin of man. How easy it is for us to look down when we are tested in life's circumstances instead of lifting our eyes to Christ. Jesus had almighty power, and verse 2 says that all authority over all flesh. In Matthew 28:18, it says, all power is given to me. Yet he looked to God the Father when the hour had come to give his life on the cross. We see in these verses four things that Jesus prayed for himself. And the first is that God would glorify him. Verse 1, glorify your Son. That God the Father would carry out his plan of salvation for man through him. Is our desire and prayer that God would glorify our lives in him for his purpose in redeeming lost souls through Jesus Christ? The second thing he prayed for, that his life would glorify God, that your Son also may glorify you, also in verse 1. Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross would glorify God through his shed blood, and men would glorify God through Jesus Christ as their Savior. As God's children, is our prayer that God's name would be glorified and magnified above anything else in our lives. The third thing we notice in those first five verses is that through his life, man would know God. Verse 3, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. It speaks of an intimate relationship with God. And I like Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glories, glory in this. This is what you should glory in. Did you ever think of that? There's nothing else you should glory in but this. That he understands and knows me. That's the thing that we should glory in our life here on this earth. That we can actually understand and know who God is. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. I like what Paul wrote to the Philippians in 3:10, that I may know him. You can just feel his heart in those verses. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Jesus' prayer was that through him, man could personally know God's love, his judgment, and his righteousness. The fourth thing that we see in those first five verses, Jesus' prayer for himself also was that he would again be with the Father in heaven, in verse 5, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. A restoration to his former glory. Philippians 2:6, part of that verse says, being in the form of God, and Hebrews 1:3, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. I'm going to briefly go through the rest of the verses, and then I'd like to draw some things that I believe that the Lord has prayed for each one of us today. In verse 6 to 19, Christ prays for his disciples. Jesus states in his prayer that he witnessed to the disciples who God was. I have manifested your name, verse 6. And that they believed him and are convinced in their hearts that Jesus is the promised Messiah, verse 8. They have believed that you sent me. And in verse 9, that Jesus is in prayer, not only for his disciples, but for all. God is called to follow him and who accepted his gift of salvation. But for those you have given me. In verse 11, he prays that God the Father would keep them and that they may be one just as Jesus is with the Father. And in verse 13, he prays that his joy would fill their lives and that God would protect them from Satan in verse 15. In verse 17 and 19, Jesus prays that God would continue to sanctify them. And verse 18, that as God had sent him into the world, he also has sent those to share the message of salvation to the world. In verses 20 to 26 then, Christ prays for all believers. As for the disciples, he prays that they would be one in us, in verse 21, and that would be a witness to those lost in sin in the world. That God's glory also would characterize their lives, in verse 22, and also through sanctification, their lives would be made perfect. Verse 23 and in verse 24, a desire also that they would be with him in heaven. He closes with verse 26, that the love of the Father and Christ's love would also be in them. In this beautiful prayer, Jesus prayed for a number of things for believers, and I believe he is still interceding for us today. The cry of Jesus' heart for us. And I like to just go down, I have about seven of them that I have listed, that he prayed for in this prayer that we can claim for us today. And I'm going to use a number of verses that would, again, show the truth of why, when he prayed these words. That we would be taught by his words. If you go back to verse 8, it says, "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." There's two truths in there about God's word when we hear it. First, that we need to receive it, and then we need to believe it. Those two things. When you hear the word of God. In John 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." And then in verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." May we be as the Thessalonians, who when Paul preached the word of God to them, they received it not as from man, but as from God. And my prayer is this morning, that as I share the word of God in this prayer, that you do not receive it as from me, but as from God. The second thing we see in this prayer is that Jesus prayed for our protection. In verse 11, it says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." And in verse 15, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." And that word "keep" would mean to guard. Psalm 121:4 says, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. What a blessing to know that God at all times is protecting us. And 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful," and this is the verse that Dave read this morning. Again, I am amazed how the Spirit leads, because I did not ask him to read the passage, and he got up and announced that. I'm sure that verse is somewhere in the message this morning. "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." And then 1 John 5, verse 18 says, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God keeps or guards himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." God protects, but we also need to guard against sin and be victorious, even as Christ intercedes for us. The third thing we see in this passage, in this prayer, is that Jesus prayed for the unity of believers. Again, in verse 11, it says, "that they may be one as we are." And then in verse 21 to 23, it says, "that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. How important is Jesus' prayer that we may be one with him, the Father, God, and other believers? How important is that? Is it of importance? There's two things that he basically says the same thing, just worded a little different. But why there's such a great importance that though we are individuals, we are still one as believers together. And that is, in verse 21 it says, that the world may believe. And in verse 23, that the world may know. Can we see what the damage does when we are not in one? When we allow things to separate us? It has a direct result on how the world will receive Christ. Jesus' prayer was that oneness would be a reality in our lives. Individuals, yes, but one in Christ, able to worship him together. We will always be individuals. We will always have differences in our lives. I will not be the same as you are. But that should never separate us from being able to worship together. The fourth thing we see in this prayer is that Jesus prayed that we would be filled with his joy. Verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not food or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not pray that we would be blessed with material goods in this world. He prayed that we'd be full of joy, his joy, not blessed with the things that the world has to offer. The fifth thing I would like to share is that Jesus prayed that we would be purified. In verse 17 and 19, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And then in verse 23, at the first part of that verse, it says, I in them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one. John 15:3 says, you are already clean because the word which I've spoken to you, Christ has covered our sin. And 2 Timothy 2:21 says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, which I believe is habitual sin in our lives that sometimes we don't see, but as God reveals it in our life, that it says here that if anyone cleanses himself from that, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And I'd like to clarify that a bit. I believe when you come to Christ, your sin has been forgiven. I believe that. And you will know immediately what sin has been has a stranglehold on you in your life as you walked in this world as an unbeliever. But when you become a Christian, you still have the human nature. And I am different. I'm a very impatient man. You may not see that when you first come to Christ. But as God's Spirit lives in you, he will start to speak to you on that. And that is what it means, to cleanse myself from the impatientness that I am naturally born with. In other words, God wants to change that. And if he can change that, then 2 Timothy becomes so real that God can use that vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And there are many things in our lives that we don't see. And I don't know why the Lord doesn't throw it all on us at once, but he doesn't. And even now, there will be things in my life, over 60, that he will want to change. Jesus knew how hard it would be for us to change our habits and lifestyle when his word speaks into our heart, making us into his image. He was facing the cross. Think of it. Within hours, he was facing the cross, and he prayed that when the truth of God spoke into our lives, we would allow him to change us. That is amazing. His love was so great that he prayed that we would allow him to change us as his Spirit speaks to us. The sixth thing is that Jesus prayed that we will be with him in eternity. In verse 24 it says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory with you, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Just as Jesus desired to again return and be with the Father, as we've seen in verse 5, in heaven, his desire and prayer is that we also would be there with him. What a wonderful promise that Christ prayed back then. And then the promise is found in John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The last one I'd like to share with you this morning is that Jesus prayed that we would understand his love for us. In verse 26, it says, And I have declared to them your name, and will declare that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Think on those words that he think of those words that he said there, that he prayed, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. A love for us so great that even though the hour had come to lay down his life, that his shed blood would redeem us from sin, he took time to pray for us, the cry of Jesus' heart. Such love the world has never seen. And I'd like to, as a closing prayer, to the last point and to John 17, his prayer, is also a prayer of realization from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19. And I'd like to read that as a closing prayer. And I would ask you to stand, and then I'll have John come and lead us in a closing song. And then we'll remain standing for the benediction, which will be the last two verses then of Ephesians 3. So would you stand this time? And we'll read that prayer in Ephesians 3, verses 14. Shall we pray? For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. John, would you lead us in a hymn at this time? Read it and take the words of that song and read it. In closing, for the closing benediction, I'd like to read the last two verses. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Depart in peace.